South Sudan had been independent for nearly 3 years. The Sudan People's Liberation Movement, which had fought a decades-long war from the Republic of Sudan, assumed control of the government and began state building. But by last July, ruling party rifts were playing out in public. President Salva Kiir sacked a cabinet of dissenting voices, including Vice President Riek Machar. In December, Machar and others had complained about a lack of democracy in decision-making in the government and party. Days later, fighting broke out in a military barracks in Juba, and the president accused Machar of attempting a coup, a charge Machar has denied. Machar and forces loyal to him fled the capital and regrouped to fight the government. Observers say tensions had been growing for some time. The U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan, Donald Booth, was a participant at a recent roundtable discussion on the situation at the National Defense University in Washington, D.C. He said the violence represents a failure of leadership on all sides.
Institutions that were understandably weak at independence were allowed to stagnate, while the political elite vied instead for power in an ever-shrinking political space. Development efforts were given a backseat to individual ambitions. The government attempted to contain and quell intercommunal violence without fully committing to the hard work of addressing its causes, which include economic disparity, historical grievances against other communities, and political grievances due to real or perceived underrepresentation and disproportionate political influence in all levels of government.
But the government of South Sudan rejects the accusation that there was a lack of political diversity in the government. The ambassador of South Sudan to the United States, Akesh Achukoch, who was a guest of the Washington discussion, said the government did include consultations with other parties.
The
he cited policies put in place following the Comprehensive Peace Agreement with the Republic of Sudan in 2005.
All of this was bound to cause an explosion.
Following the conclusion of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement,
what we didn't know with certainty was what shape this explosion was going to take. A popular uprising resembling the North African protests, perhaps, or more rebellions
in its
by army commanders,
in South Sudan.
Or intensity in the more familiar
who
tribal militia
they have
wars.
Been excluded, or their political
or more,
space has been
civil,
very much reduced, were very much in charge
contest of power
of
within the SPLM leadership.
The show, implementation of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement,
those responsible for perpetrating abuses and violations
elections
need to be held accountable,
and, of the referendum,
and the nation must fully invest in a reconciliation process or
so,
processes
by and large,
that can support political dialogue and reform going
it
forward.
Is not fair to assume
the African Union is currently establishing a commission of inquiry for South Sudan, which we believe can serve as an important and credible mechanism.
Another panel participant, Jacques Madouk Jacques, says it was clear the liberation movement that had led South Sudan to independence was having trouble in its transition to ruling party and to governing effectively. Jacques is the executive director of the Sud Institute in Juba and professor of history at Loyola Marymount University in California.
Accused by all other lavish expenditure in all sorts of in state capitals and to lead it. You need somebody who is
in Juba acceptable to everyone.
It's quite
so,
visible.
So it is not some more comprehensive reconciliation process that everybody would
disappointed population assuming that
then accountability,
the leaders
which is critical for reconciliation
to succeed, or the impunity of the past has to stop.
It is something that they see
it
every day.
It is that impunity that has become one of the big reasons
all
for
of
the
this
current
was
revenge
bound
and counter-revenge
an
that is going on currently in South Sudan.
It was just a matter of time.
But these would need
to be
built
into
certainty,
whatever
was
what settlement
that
would emerge
explosion was going to take. A popular uprising resembling the North African protests, perhaps, or more rebellions by army commanders, or intensity in the more familiar tribal militia wars, or more civil contest of power within the SPLM leadership.
The South African analyst also says the military had become unmanageable and costly. He says it's the largest institution in the country and absorbs up to 60% of the national budget. The government integrated opposition militias into the army, which led to a military, in his words, without ethos or shared values. However, Jock says over half of the army is still made up of one ethnic group, the Dinka, thus failing to reflect national diversity. The analyst also says the government has failed to find work for young people. He says over 70% of the population is under 30 years of age and are susceptible to calls to take up arms to improve their lives. According to Jock, the government has also failed to effectively advance reconciliation. Instead, he said violence continued in southern Sudan after the signing of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement with Khartoum in 2005. The U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan, Donald Booth, says the way forward includes an end to impunity for those behind attacks on civilians.
Those responsible for perpetrating abuses and violations need to be held accountable, and the nation must fully invest in a reconciliation process or processes that can support political dialogue and reform going forward. The African Union is currently establishing a commission of inquiry for South Sudan, which we believe can serve as an important and credible mechanism to ensure accountability for atrocities. And we urge that this mechanism move forward expeditiously on its work.
Some human rights activists support the work of the government-appointed Committee for National Healing, Peace, and Reconciliation, which is chaired by Archbishop of the Episcopal Church of South Sudan and Bishop of Juba Diocese, Daniel Deng Bul, and co-chaired by Bishop Emeritus of the Roman Catholic Church, Paride Taban. However, analyst Jock Maduk Jock is skeptical of its ability to promote reconciliation.
There's nothing wrong with having church leaders lead a reconciliation, but we have to look at the personalities and the histories of ethnic relations in South Sudan, where Daniel Deng Bul comes from an ethnic group that is accused by all other ethnic groups for all sorts of issues. And to lead it, you need somebody who is more acceptable to everyone. And so I look at a more comprehensive reconciliation process that everybody will buy into is out of the question. Then accountability, which is critical for reconciliation. To succeed, the impunity of the past has to stop, because it is that impunity that has become one of the big reasons for the current revenge and counter-revenge that is going on currently in South Sudan. But these would need to be built into whatever political settlement that will emerge from Addis.
U.S. Envoy Donald Booth says Washington supports mediators in the Ethiopian capital who have been instructed to develop a framework for the next phase of negotiations in South Sudan. He says the process should include public consultations, including participants from across society, women, youth, the internally displaced, the diaspora, and opposition political parties. Ambassador Koch says the government does indeed support such an approach and has invited leaders of the political opposition, including Lam Akol of the SPLM-DC, or Sudan's People's Liberation Movement, Democratic Change, as well as Luo militia leader David Yao. Roundtable panelists also warned against allowing the manipulation of humanitarian aid by armed actors. They say it relieves them of the responsibility of feeding their own people, allowing them to spend funds on waging war and prolonging conflict. They say Khartoum used this to its advantage in the long war against southern independence, extending the region's fight to become a separate nation by years. Booth warned against what he called business as usual and a quick fix and political accommodation for elites. That would be a recipe, he says, for renewed conflict. I'm William Eagle in Washington.